I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we have our movie man, Dan Slevin, on the line. Kia ora to you, Dan.
Kia ora to you. How are you?
I am just great, thanks. We've got a lot to get through. Maybe first of all, though, anything notable about the Oscars? Were they a bit uneventful and boring this year?
I don't think they were boring. I think that they've got a show that I think is working pretty smoothly now, and a lot of the entertainments that happened in between the awards were particularly strong this year. Of course, you know, I'm Just Ken was a real showstopper, and I don't think there was any. I had this little discussion online with somebody about, you know, just because there are no surprises or not very many surprises in the awards doesn't mean they're not right, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, just I didn't feel anybody except perhaps for the Killers of the Flower Moon star missing out on best actress. But even then, you know, Emma Stone did a fantastic job in Poor Things. So, you know. I don't think anybody could argue too much about the actual awards themselves.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Diplomatic and also true. I mean, you know, there doesn't need to be a scandal.
Yeah, we
can
try and,
every year, does there?
You know, you can try and pick fights, but where's it going to get you?
Where's it going to get you? Exactly. Life's too short, Dan. Let's talk about movies then. And your in cinema suggestion. I'm really excited about watching this, The Convert.
Oh, I'm glad you're excited, because I think that means that you will have a good time. It's a new New Zealand film, and New Zealand films are always to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. It's got a reasonably hefty budget for it as well, which is not always the case with New Zealand Film Commission funded films. There's a new fund called the New Zealand Premium Production Fund, which is for intended for films that are going to have a bit of an international traction, international attention. And I think that money was sort of COVID relief money to try and keep the industry alive,
right,
and keep films in production while everything was sort of up in the air. And so this film, it's directed by Lee Tamahori, one of our big international star directors. Mm-hmm. And it's a film about pre-colonial New Zealand during the very early days of encounter or contact between early settlers and Māori. Well, let's have a listen to a little bit of the trailer.
Only those who have been at sea truly grasp the enormity of this world. It is a frightening thing, and yet we hurl ourselves into the vacant spaces of this profound earth, knowing one day a great price may be demanded of us.
Mr. Monroe, welcome to Epworth.
Thank you.
Not exactly St. Paul's, but you'll make something of it.
I shall do my best.
I've not seen you at chapel.
Nor will you. We're surrounded by savages of the most barbaric kind.
There are reports of a warlord out there.
Would that be Akatara?
You know.
I have encountered him personally.
What do you want?
I ask that you spare the lives of these people.
Ha. Huh. Sounds interesting, looks interesting. A story,
yeah,
that you don't see or hear that much on the screen, fair to say, Dan?
I don't think we've ever seen this particular period in New Zealand history represented. We've seen New Zealand wars on screen. We've seen sort of back in the days of the governor on television, the Waitangi, Treaty of Waitangi, sort of the developments leading up to that point. But this is set in 1830, and in 1830, it was estimated that there were less than 2,000 European settlers in New Zealand, and they were sort of clinging to the coasts, really. This was after the first sort of wave of whalers and what have you had sort of they would come and go from Australia. But these were people sort of attempting to eke out a bit of a life on land, and Māori outnumbered them by about 100 times at this point. And so the film is set in a fictional settlement called Epworth, which is sort of beachfront property, we'd call it now. It's sort of iron sands. And they're renting this property from the local iwi. And this is how it worked in those days. The settlers really were only able to live on New Zealand with permission of the Māori, and only because they were bringing technology in terms of muskets and in terms of perhaps religion as well, and commerce. So, you know, there was definitely a free exchange going on between people, but it was really clear who was in charge. So at this point, there are two iwi that are coming into conflict over the land that these settlers are on, and into that troubled period, an English preacher called Munro, played by the Australian actor Guy Pearce, arrives. He's escaping his own slightly dubious past and has turned up to try and bring the Gospels to these people, but he finds himself being sort of attracted more to the Māori of the region and curious about their way of life and about their, how it's intriguing to him, shall we say.
Right.
And and as a result, it's intriguing to us.
I guess the other famous New Zealand film set in this sort of period is The Piano. Do you see any compare and contrast with that film, or is this just an entirely different kettle of fish and I'm being very lazy and equivocating those two because they're set in mid 19th century Aotearoa?
I think that in terms of New Zealand's historical development, there's a big difference between 1830 and sort of the 1860s, I think, which is when The Piano is set. I think New Zealand's become a very different sort of place. This is these people are really sort of clinging to the shoreline, and they are absolutely at the whim of the Māori chiefs who are fighting their battles around them. They barely sort of pay any attention to them if it isn't in terms of being able to get the muskets, which are dictating the balance of power. It's a wonderful moment in New Zealand history because it really is a sort of before and after moment. You know, like New Zealand's never going to be the same again once the musket is introduced to the conflict between iwi.
Exactly.
And I think that it's also interesting to me in terms of the discussions that we're having at the moment as a nation about the treaty, because I think that there's a lack of education and understanding about how the treaty came to be signed in the first place. And this film has arrived at a really opportune time for us, because it gives us context for how that founding document for New Zealand was developed, how it was negotiated, and how it and why it was needed, if you know what I mean. So I think that's actually this film has turned up at it's found its moment, shall we say?
Yeah, that's The Convent. It is in cinemas now.
The Convert,
excuse me. Now your paid streaming suggestion, Dan, indeed is an Oscar winner.
Yeah, I'd heard of this film before Monday night, and then when it won the Best Documentary Award at the Oscars, I thought, oh, I need to watch this. And it's actually streaming on the Australasian documentary streaming service called DocPlay, which is, I would say, alongside maybe Netflix and Disney Plus, the third absolutely essential streaming service that everyone should have, because there's just so much high quality educational and sort of factual material there. And to be able to put the best documentary Oscar winner up online so quickly for people is just wonderful. It's called 20 Days in Mariupol, and it is a documentary about the early days of the Ukraine war, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Let's have a listen to a little bit of the trailer.
Someone once told me, wars don't start with explosions. They start with silence.
Лично видим визуально. Танки зашли с надписью Z.
Город Мариуполь блокирован со всех сторон.
Russians have entered the city. The war has begun, and we have to tell its story.
Хорошо, что тут есть пресса. Снимайте.
This is painful to watch. But it must be painful to watch.
Вони нанесли бомбовий удар.
Вон там!
Хірургічний корпус, вон там!
А, ви гостите,
так? Мама, що?
Не знаєш, куди?
Dan, you know what this kind of reminded me of a little bit is that well, I mean, not in terms of the similarity of the material or anything, but is of the book Into Thin Air by John Krakauer, who went on the ill-fated 1996 Mount Everest expedition, in the sense that here was a very skillful writer who just happened to be caught in just the most horrifying situation. And that's sort of the case with these journalists in Mariupol, yeah?
Well, that's right, because there are two strands to this film. One is the invasion itself, and Mariupol was only 50 kilometres away from the Russian border. It was always likely to be one of the first cities to be targeted. Mm-hmm. And it's an industrial port city. It's got immense strategic value. But it's also a sort of lower middle class, normal city with wide boulevards and apartment buildings surrounding courtyards and gymnasiums and soccer fields and all that sort of stuff. And the Western journalists that were in Mariupol, once the war started, realized quite quickly that that was going to become a very dangerous place to be and left. Mm. And it was only the Ukrainians that stayed. And it's these journalists from the Associated Press, including Mstislav Chernov, who of the finished film, who is the narrator that we heard there as well, their bravery, and I think that there are times during the 20 days before they were able to escape themselves where they kind of regretted their choices, but there they were attempting to film the horrors of what was going on in terms of the bombardment of Mariupol. The Russians were indiscriminate. Well, you could argue they were indiscriminate, or you could argue that it was just sheer barbarism. They shelled maternity hospitals and apartment buildings and gymnasiums, and they literally did not care. In fact, terror was the point of the whole exercise. And so we see very close up the war crimes that were committed by the Russians, and you can tell as they get closer and closer and the tanks sort of converge on the last remaining open hospital that the dangers are very, very steep for these people. But they're still trying to get their story out. They drive around the city past curfew looking for places that still have internet so they can upload some of their footage. And the surgeons scream at them inside the hospital saying, film this, the people in the West must know. It's so incredibly urgent. So it's a film about journalism as well and the bravery of journalists. And I was thinking as I was watching it how, you know, here in New Zealand, we're about to experience, well, we're about to experience a reduction of about 200 news gatherers in our community, and but news has never been more important than it is at the moment. And this, and 20 Days in Mariupol is very much about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's lots that could be said about that, maybe some other time. About 3.5 minutes left to talk about your free option this week, which I think is probably one of my two favourite New Zealand films of all time, The Dark Horse.
Yeah, this might seem a little bit out of left field, but the reason it's been on my mind is because I'm doing some work at the moment for a website called New Zealand On Screen, and what I'm doing is they've asked me to write some articles for them, and one of them is a sort of a deep analysis or a deep sort of dive into The Dark Horse, which meant that I had to watch it again. It'd be the third time that I've watched it this week. It's playing on TVNZ Plus, which means it's free. It's also on Canopy, which might be available at your local library if you've got that service available. And it's made by James Napier Robertson, was the writer and director, based on the true story of Genesis Portini, the Tairawhiti chess player with major problems with bipolar disease. And he attempts to coach some of the troubled young people of Gisborne in chess and take them to the National Chess Championships in Auckland. We'll have a little bit of a clip from it.
My name is Genesis Botany, my special powers, yes. I'm going to lead you all to the National Chess Championships up in Auckland in 6 weeks' time.
It's a really beautiful film, this one, isn't it? It evokes such, well, in me, such pathos, you know. It was a real emotional watch for me, this film. It was touching.
It's immensely touching. It's moving. There are three strands of story to it. There's Genesis's story in terms of his own struggles with mental health. There's his nephew, Mana, played by James Rolleston, who's about to be inducted into the local gang, and he's trying to sort of save him as well. And then there are the kids and the journey that the kids go on, and there's a real sort of uplifting sort of period during the chess championships themselves, which is a lot of fun to watch. So I agree with you. I think it's definitely up there in the one, two, or three of New Zealand films of all time. And I was also taken watching it this time around at how steeped it is in tikanga, actually. You know, that's it's a very powerfully, strongly Māori film in terms of its structure and the way that it's made, as well as the subject matter.
Great stuff. What else would be in your top two or three New Zealand films in the last 30 seconds, Dan? Or do you not want to go out there and make any enemies this evening?
Not tonight, but I will do some. I will do some homework, because these things change,
don't they,
over time, and depending on, like, because I've been writing an article about Out of the Blue, the Adam Moana film, for New Zealand On Screen, and you know that would be up there too.
That's my other one in the top two. Is Out of the Blue and The Dark Horse. You've got me down pat, Dan.
We met.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Dan. Always a joy chatting to you.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.